Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, certainly, because emotionally he's invested just like the most rabid of any fan. He takes these losses hard. I mean, this is not a real pleasant time to be around him. But, you know, everybody associated with the Sox, everybody that cheers for them on a daily basis, they can't be happy with where it is now, but they see a glimmer of hope. And so, yes, it's been a frustrating season, but also the best team will start to play better and better as the year moves along. We're going to see if the Sox have that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That, of course, is the voice of Steve Stone. We spoke with him yesterday, and he's talking about Jerry Reinsdorf, his reaction to the White Sox 9 games under tonight as they head to play the Yankees. And we are delighted to welcome in David Sampson, Nothing Personal Daily Podcast. And he joins us on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. David, of course, longtime MLB executive and a guy who's a friend of the program. David, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Good morning.
So Jerry Reinsdorf apparently not doing great. And it's funny. I don't think it's necessarily funny, but David talked to Hawk Harrelson on Saturday, and Hawk said that he had said that Jerry ought to sell the team, and he called Jerry and explained to him that he was worried about his health, that this can't be good for him going through this sort of thing. So even Hawk Harrelson is saying it might be time to step aside from this, I mean, there's not many more loyal lieutenants than Hawk, and he's worried about Jerry. And you heard Stoney say that Jerry's held to be around right now. Well, he didn't say that. I said that. But he's taking it badly, the White Sox disastrous season.
Well, he ought to be taking it badly because it's been a number of years where he thought and he was told by his people that he had a good team. He put a bunch of money in, signed a bunch of young players, and it's just not working. And what you do in April when it's not working is you say, hey, we're just starting slowly. It's going to be fine. And then when it's not working in May, you say, well, there's teams like the Marlins in 03 that went from 10 under to the best record in the baseball for the last 4 months of the season and won the World Series. So that's pretty good. That could happen to us. And then you get into June and you say, uh-oh, it's not happening for us. So I do not agree with the soundbite that you just played, which says that the better teams start playing better as the season goes on. The better teams play well the entire season. And there gets to be a point where a slow start becomes who you are. And it's not that it's a slow start. It's a reflection of the type of team you have. And from the White Sox standpoint, that's exactly where we are. There's no miracle happening in Chicago right now on the South Side. There is no indication, given where their numbers are, given who the players they have and how they're performing, that they're going to turn it on like a light switch and all of a sudden make a run here in a division that's, you know, mediocre. So I think that the White Sox have a problem. And I think that they need to make changes. And I think that Jerry is more apt to make changes than he is to sell the team. And in terms of his health, I think that he is a veteran owner. He's owned teams through championships and through bad seasons. And he's pretty smart at understanding perspective. And I'm sure he is extremely frustrated right now and certainly wishes that the delusion of grandeur that they all had would come true. But I don't think it's enough that he is going to say, I hate this, forget it, I'm done, I'm selling. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well put, David. I'm also curious and fascinated and slightly jealous about what's going on in South Florida down there this week. You've got two NBA Finals games for the Heat. You've got two Stanley Cup Final games for the Panthers. You've got a Marlins franchise that has two World Series championships, as one of our texters pointed out earlier. We were having a conversation earlier about how good of a sports city Miami actually is. And then there's the Dolphins. You're down there. You've lived it. You've been part of it as a Marlins executive. How would you say Miami is as a sports city? Because I can't imagine it being much more exciting anywhere in America right now than South Florida.
Well, it's a great run right now, but I can tell you that as president of the Marlins, I really was less than happy when the Heat were doing well or the Dolphins do well, because it takes attention away from your team. And if your team's playing well, you want attention. If your team stinks, you don't want attention and you're okay. But the Marlins are doing well and no one cares because everyone's focused on hockey and basketball right now. But in a couple of weeks, it'll all be over and then the attention will be on the Marlins. But in terms of Miami being such a great sports city, I would say that from a corporate standpoint, it's mediocre. From a fan affinity standpoint, it's mediocre. And what's great about it is when the teams are playing well, like any other city, right, it's a bunch of front runners. And that's not an insult. That's sort of the disposition of most fans. When things are going well and you get to talk about it at the water cooler, which is such a boomer expression because nobody goes into the office anymore. But that's good. But every city's like that. And the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals, it's damn cool. It's going to be one hell of a week for South Florida and these great events that are happening. And that's cool. If you're the mayor or you are a corporate citizen or just a regular ticket holder, this is what you dream about, the possibility of having more than one team successful at one time. But I can tell you from the Marlins standpoint, with what they have going on, they're beating up on bad teams, but that's what you're supposed to do. They've got the best hitter on the planet playing right now for them in Arias, who's hitting .399, and they've got a chance to actually make the playoffs in a non-shortened season for the first time since 2003, and that's pretty cool. They have a better chance than the White Sox do, or even the Cubs.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing that the White Sox and the Cubs have going for them, as you well know, is that their division, both teams, they're pretty bad. I mean, you know, the Sox are only 5.5 games out. I don't know what happened last night, but they were 5.5 games out going into yesterday, and they're, what, 9 games under .500? That's insane.
Yeah, but remember, this year, it's the unbalanced schedule went away. So you actually don't get to play teams in your division as much as you used to. So the chances of making up ground, it gets diminished because you don't have that stretch where at the end of the season, we play the team ahead of us 8 times in the past 11 games. If we go 7-1, all we have to do is be within 6 games. At that point, we sweep and then we're tied for the division and everything's great, right? That's just not happening this year. So people don't talk about that too much, but they talk about the pitch clock and the bigger bases and everything else. The change in schedule may have the biggest impact on whether your team's a playoff team than any other rule change.
Who's the biggest superstar in Miami sports? Is it Jimmy Butler?
It is Jimmy Butler. I would say Tua is right there as well because it's still an NFL city and the Dolphins are still the most popular. But Jimmy Butler's had an amazing run getting an 8 seed here into the playoffs. The problem with hockey is so many people, there's not a lot of name recognition. There's not a particular, I mean, Kachuk is a superstar and what he's done during these playoffs, but I think Butler has the mantle. People asked me on a recent show whether Jimmy Butler has now surpassed Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and is now in the Mount Rushmore of Miami Heat all-time players, and I laughed. I mean, of course that's not the case. You better put a ring on your finger if you even want to talk about that. Getting close is not good enough. And Dwayne Wade has rings, and Bosh has rings, and LeBron and Shaq. But it's exciting what he's doing. But again, what's happening with the Heat is that they've got players who other teams didn't even want to draft, and those players are hitting shots. And the NBA has changed, as you know, from watching the Bulls. It's just about hitting shots now. And people use the expression, it's a make-or-miss league, and that has never been more true than it is today.
David, we were talking earlier today about Marcus Stroman because he won the Player of the Week honors. He went 2-0, 0.00 ERA, 5 hits, 14 Ks in 15 innings, and they're really, you're hard-pressed to figure out what he could have done better in the week. Now, they have a decision to make about him, and the thinking is if they're going to extend him, then they should do so. If they're not, then they should trade him, and they'll have that. He's 31 years old, arguably pitching better than he ever has. He seems to feed off that Wrigley crowd. He's one of these guys, kind of like Javi Baez was, where the energy of the crowd seems to fuel him somehow. But he's been really good. How do you make a decision on a guy as to whether or not you're bringing him back or not when he's playing at his best? In other words, is there a danger of him pricing himself out of a future in Chicago? He's been around. Is this a sign of maturity? How do you evaluate this?
Well, first of all, whenever you can get a Blutarski GPA as your ERA, you're doing something right. So that is a positive. What most teams do, and I was so guilty of this, and it's such a horrible habit, is that you pay players at their absolute high. And when you do that, there's nowhere to go but down. So what Stroman's doing this year, it's exciting, but you have to look at the overall team, and you have to look at what the makeup of the Cubs is and what you're missing. And you have to look at them in relation to not just their division, but to the rest of the National League. And you realize that you're missing pieces. And with the money they spent and the people they put together, it just hasn't been good enough so far. If Stroman thinks that he is a Max Scherzer or a Justin Verlander who should be getting 30 plus or even 40 plus million a year, you have to have the guts to say no. And many owners do not have that. They feel like we've got to keep our guy, right? We've got to keep the momentum going. He's so good for Chicago. He's so great. And then all of a sudden, at $35 million, you realize he's taking up such a big percentage of the payroll that it's just not good for the team. And you have to look no further than Los Angeles, where you've got two of the best five players in all of baseball on a team that's 31-30 and is not going to make the playoffs again. I'm talking about the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles. So the best front offices know when it's time to get rid of a player and know that getting rid of a player at his high is actually beneficial to your team in the long term. And the Cubs have to be thinking that because this is not a year where they can expect to make the playoffs.
Natural follow-up, David. So the Cubs go to Anaheim tonight to begin a three-game series. We just saw Shohei Ohtani in Chicago. He blistered the White Sox pitching and hit two home runs worth about 900 feet combined. He's going to be a free agent. He may be traded before that. There's going to be teams in a bidding war. The Cubs might be one of them. It's an ongoing conversation here. What would he be worth? What would you be willing to invest in Shohei Ohtani? Is he worth $500 million in his next contract, in your mind, as an ex-executive?
So I did a segment on this on Nothing Personal, and here's how I broke it down. He is a top-of-the-rotation starter, and top-of-the-rotation starters consistently, let's say, make $30 million a year. He is a middle-of-the-order bat who hits for power. His average is down a tick, I think, here. But he is a middle-of-the-order bat, and those bats get $30 million. So he's two players for one. Each could make 30. So is he now worth $60 million? And my answer is yes. When you're putting together a team, you have to fill those two roles. You need someone at the top of your rotation, and you need someone in the middle of your order. And so would you pay him 60? Yes. But would you go 10 years, which is what he wants? He's not going to be a top-of-the-rotation starter and a middle-of-the-order bat for 10 years. But what teams have shown is they're more interested in now than later. They're willing to suck up the end of a contract and know that they're overpaying and not getting any of the results they want late because they want it early. So there are going to be multiple teams who are after him and who are willing to give him $50-plus million. He's definitely going to get more than Scherzer and Verlander, so he will make the most per year of any player ever. And he's going to get more notionally than any other player. So he's going to break both records, and there will be multiple teams bidding for him, and it's just going to be up to him. It's not going to be about celebrity videos or who's got the nicest neighborhood for him to build a house. It's really going to be about him deciding where he wants to live because he's going to have that type of choice on every coast and in the middle of the country as well. So it is the biggest story to watch outside of what's going on with the regional sports networks, but those are the two biggest stories in baseball this year.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's fascinating because if you're a team like the Cubs, you can afford him, but is it intelligent spending? In other words, they keep talking about, would you be better off bringing in five guys on a $100 million deal or one guy for half a billion, right? And that is kind of what the decision would come down to. We see teams that have put together super teams. We're watching the Cubs play the Padres. They're not firing at all, the Padres. I mean, they got great players, but they're not all great at the same time.
That's baseball. It's not like basketball where you can put a big three together and make a run. Baseball's different. Just what we talked about with Ohtani and Trout, and they can't even sniff the playoffs. Here's the thing about five guys at 100 versus one guy at 500. This is a debate we had in the front office every year. It always drove me crazy at the end of a season when my GM would come up to me and say, hey, I think we should go after X. And X was the number one pitcher on the market. And I would say, well, that's not really adding value. I don't need you to tell me that we should sign the number one pitcher. I want you to tell me who we can sign for $100 million who is going to outperform his contract instead of signing a guy for $400 million where it's very unlikely that he will ever be able to outperform his contract. So really, the best front offices don't need to sign these guys because you know in baseball that just having these guys is not going to be enough. It's like the lazy man's way out when you're a GM or a baseball person talking to your owner like, hey, give me the money. I'm telling you, it's going to be so huge to sign this guy. And that's what San Diego has done time and time again. And look where it's gotten them. Absolutely nowhere.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks a ton. Always a joy to catch up with you, David. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
All right, have a great day. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's David Sampson. You can hear the Nothing Personal Daily podcast, former Marlins.
That last point was something that applies to almost every sport. He's talking about the baseball context when the general manager comes to him and basically he's telling him, go back and find me somebody that's going to be a value signing, somebody who's going to outperform expectations.
Yeah.
And you can apply that to – we're talking South Florida. Look at the Heat, what they have done. That their general manager operates. The way that they go about their businesses, yeah, they will go out and pay the max for certain stars and guys like Jimmy Butler. But they also say, find me the guys who are going to, you know, perform beyond what is expected of them and go beyond and make themselves, you know, where you have to decide whether or not to pay them the big money that they have earned or not. That's the secret of their success.
Yeah, I think that we're going to come out. I think it's interesting the timing of hearing from Scott Boras talk about Cody Bellinger, because I think we're going to come out of this series against Anaheim and say, wow, Shohei Ohtani is all that and more. And when you see him play and you see him have success, it wows you to the point where you're like, how do you get one of those? Like, wouldn't it be incredible? If you're one of the teams that can get that guy, don't you owe it to yourself to pursue him? When in reality, it may not even be on their radar for the very reason he just said.
Right. And I hope that he is, but I think that's a very fan/media perspective. You don't know how they're viewing it internally, but just in case they are, I think they could maybe get the message across sometime this series that maybe 480 over 8 years might be a good place to start.
312-644-6767.
That's 60 per. That's 60 per. David Sampson just said 60 per would be a good place to start. That you can see that, right?
That's a lot of money, David. I mean, it's theoretically a good, if you got that, done, then you're laughing. But I think it really is.
Somebody's going to pay it.
But anybody can pay it.
Somebody's going to pay it.
Anybody can just pay for someone. It's building a team and all that stuff that gets tricky.
Interesting.
I mean, the problem is, like, if you really wanted to pay that much, what if the Mets decide, well, we'll give him another.
It's a really good point. You're saying basically, find me the Jake Arrieta's, the Ben Zobrist's, the pieces to the puzzle that are every bit as important, but may not be as expensive.
But you better get a John Lester along the way.
You better.
Yeah.
At least one.
That's right. All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the 2-2. Call strike three. Got him with a fastball, 92 miles per hour. And Stroman came off the mound looking a little awkward after that delivery. Is he okay?
I think so. I don't know if that was an awkward land or just a dance move. I'm not quite sure. Good breaking ball right on the inside corner. And I think it was more of a little dance move after the strikeout.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That's great.
That was funny. That poor Zach thought that he was worried for.
Thought he was hurt.
He struck out Juan Soto.
Yes.
And then he did the little Juan Soto shuffle.
The Soto shuffle, they call it.
And what will happen next? You got to wonder. Tonight, the Cubs begin their series against the Angels. Mm-hmm. The pregame begins at 8 p.m. with first pitch at 8:38 on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network.
I enjoyed everything about Marcus Stroman's antics, if you want to call him that. I love the fact that he is not afraid to show emotion. Certainly, he's pitching as well as any guy in the National League, so he can get away with it, and he certainly backs it up. But as you might imagine, not everybody is in agreement.
It was gamesmanship, what he was doing, the little dance,
it
right?
It was fun because Soto actually looked at him, acknowledged him, and nodded, and he said that he made eye contact with him before. And, yeah, I get it.
And Stroman coming off being named the NL Player of the Week, 2-0, 15 innings pitched, no earned runs. That's the Lutarski, as David Sampson pointed out. 14 Ks in 15 innings, as we said. Listen to this, though. The one guy that you would think isn't going to be a crotchety old man about this would be Joe Maddon. Well, he was on MLB Now yesterday. Take a listen.
The grown-ups cannot accept this kind of behavior. I saw Stroman do his little slide to the left, after he struck out Soto. We're accepting all kinds of behavior that we should not. And to me, it's cutting into the fabric of respect of our game, quite frankly. Whether you like that or not, if we have to advertise our game based on physical demonstrations after achievement, that's a bad way to promote our game.
Wow. Of all the
Take
people,
that, Mr. David.
Well, of all the people that I expected to criticize Marcus Stroman, Joe Maddon was not on that list. I love Joe Maddon. I think a lot of people in Chicago were nodding their heads in agreement. We love Joe Maddon.
Until he won the World Series.
Well, okay.
That idiot.
Yeah, I know. But I have a lot of respect for Joe for obvious reasons. But I also I love the Stroh show. I love the Stroh show. All of the dance moves, all of the gestures, all of the looking at the Mets dugout. And, you know, typically that's not my thing, but I don't think he does it in a way that is disrespectful necessarily. It is clear that he's just having emotion, and it's not profane. It's not vulgar. It's just a guy having fun.
It's homage.
It is. It is homage.
He's pointing
to Juan Soto.
It's a tribute to Juan Soto.
So I disagree respectfully with Joe Maddon here. I love that Joe Maddon is back. It seems he was on the MLB Network offering this opinion. He's got a podcast. He did something with Coach K. He's out there. The Book of Joe, I think it's called. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Joe Maddon offering his insight and perspective on baseball is good for baseball fans everywhere. I just disagree with him here. I think what Marcus Stroman is doing is much like what Tim Anderson did with the White Sox a couple years ago, the bat flip mentality. It's okay to have fun and to celebrate things as they happen, as long as it's authentic, genuine, and real.
Yeah, we got a texter checking in who thinks that Joe, you know, making guys dress up like superheroes on flights and then turning around and acting like somehow that's...
Well, it's kind of like...
That's it's a why difference it's a, from that, fun to
It's kind of why
mocking.
It surprised me. It's also a difference in analyzing and offering opinions as an analyst and managing a team and all those personalities and understanding what it takes to get through a 162-game season. You need to have some fun. This is not the guy that I heard in that clip criticizing Marcus Stroman that was preaching, don't ever let the pressure exceed the pleasure.
Yes, yes.
Right?
That's what he said.
But this is clearly a pleasurable reaction.
But I think Joe, certainly in that clip, is separating the idea of baseball being fun with the idea of mocking someone.
Well,
the idea of gamesmanship versus mean-spiritedness.
At the expense of Juan Soto, making fun of Juan Soto, do you think that's why he took exception to that?
He seems to believe it's bad sportsmanship.
I suppose, but I also think that you have to take into context, and I know we're really parsing this, but I think it's out there. Marcus Stroman also has expressed respect for Juan Soto publicly on social media, on his various platforms, right, as one of his favorite players, a guy that he does respect. So I think it's in that context that he did kind of mock his dance and do the Soto shuffle after striking him out. And it's okay. That's baseball. That's sports. That's fun. Isn't Joe Maddon the same guy that managed Javi Baez, as one texter points
That's
out?
That's true. He did.
Javi Baez liked to have a good time.
Yes, he did.
And he was a guy whose antics, if you will, didn't always rub people the right way. Wilson Contreras would be another. There are Cubs out there who you could point to that did that on Joe Maddon's watch, and it was okay because it was the Cubs.
616 texter. Is that Michigan? I might be. You guys like what Stroman and Anderson do because they're in your city, but you'd call it differently if it was another team's player.
I hope that's wrong. I have to think of an example where that I could prove that wrong, but I don't believe that's correct.
Let's try Bobby. He's in Arlington Heights. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. I'll try to be brief, which is against my nature, but my question to Dustin was, who appointed Joe Maddon elder statesman of baseball protocol? I mean, here's my thing. Okay, in the early days of Maddon, three World Series, if you remember, there was a series with the Cardinals where the beanball started, and, you know, the Cardinals manager, I think it was Matheny at the time, said, you know, they had their book, You know, according to the book, here's how we do it. And Joe said back then, there's no book. I don't start things, but I finish things. And, you know, it's kind of like, Joe, you don't get your cake and eat it too. And I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I have to say I'm in the distinct minority of Chicago people who don't pray to St. Joe, because I believe that the Cubs won the World Series that night in spite of Joe, not because of him. And my primary evidence is taking out Hendricks in the fifth inning when you're leading 5-1. But I'll shut up and listen.
No, that's great stuff, Bobby. That's hysterical.
Good phone call. It's a fair response.
We have said this 1,000 times. Yeah, the fact of the matter is that Joe Maddon was like the greatest manager ever. Managers were supposed to count, you know, a win or two. Joe comes in and you see this jump with this young team and all of the way he's handling everyone and keeping the pressure off and all that stuff. And then they win the World Series and Joe is suddenly a mental midget who basically nearly cost them the World Series. I've never seen a guy lose popularity.
It's never happened.
After winning.
It's never happened to
and
that degree.
That is what happened.
A guy whose Q rating went down after celebrating a World Series championship that was historic.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting accused on the text line of that Tony La Russa way of thinking, because now I'm the genuine celebration guy. What does that mean? No, Joe Maddon, first of all, is not Tony La Russa. He is sounding increasingly like, as another texter points out, the get off my lawn guy on the podcast. But I just looked at what Stroman has done as being more an expression of his personality, and that's okay.
I think we've decided, based on our conversation with David Sampson, that what Stroman has done is priced himself out of the Cubs.
That sounded like it, didn't it?
Let's try Michael. He's on the south side. Hi, Michael.
I have a different take on this. Jim Anderson, when he's doing the backfields, he was doing pretty good then. But I don't think that backfield will work now because he ain't doing so hot. Now, with Stroman,
bat flip when you don't hit a home run.
Right. Anything in particular, I'm saying, when you're doing good. Now, my thing is this. What about when Stroman gets pounded the next pitching? Because, you know, San Diego hitting this year ain't been too hot this year. I think they're last in hitting this year. Yep. I think they're hitting .220 as a team.
Struggling.
It's a fair point. If Marcus Stroman is the second highest ERA in the National League, his Soto shuffle doesn't look so cool. It looks dumb. But he's getting away with it. He's backing it up. So it does seem more of an extension of the kind of pitcher that you're seeing on the mound. So it's okay while he's winning.
All right, we've got to get to Mike Florio. We're going to talk some NFL with our NFL man. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat!
We can't beat!
We won't beat!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. He's also on Twitch with us.
Twitch.
Which is phenomenal. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
There's a town I know where the hipsters go. It's Bedrock.
Well played.
Oh, that is so awesome. So here we are, and it's another day and another NFL investigation into wagering. What is your takeaway from the idea that the Colts had a guy making, what, hundreds of bets that, you know, at least – I guess you're not allowed to do it out of the facility. He didn't quite understand that. This is not a great news for the NFL.
And this one's different because the player reportedly used an account in the name of an associate. So he at least had an awareness that this is something he should not be doing in his own name. He just didn't realize that, you know, George Orwell kind of got it right with Big Brother. What he didn't realize is we are all Big Brother to ourselves because of this thing we carry around that tracks everything we do and everywhere we go and hears everything we say. My wife and I last night were talking about taking a trip later this month. She went in to look for flights, and the dates we were talking about were the ones that were served up to her. This thing is everywhere, and it's ratting these guys out. It is giving the information to the sports books, who give the information to the NFL, who catch these guys. That's the bottom line. So I feel like it's a failure by everyone to properly educate the players on what the rules are, how you get caught, you will get caught, and you won't be allowed to play football. And coaches get in players' faces all the time on matters of urgency on the field. It's beyond me that we haven't gotten the sense that everyone in the NFL bubble has read the Riot Act to the players, that this isn't just some usual in-house policy. This is a serious requirement that if you violate it, you're done. And I can't imagine Isaiah Rodgers, the Colts cornerback, who was linked to the latest scandal, ever playing again if it's true that he bet on Colts games, whether he bet on them to win or lose. The commissioner has broad discretion here, broad powers. I expect this guy's never playing again. And maybe that's the wake-up call to everyone else to make sure players understand the rules and the gravity of breaking them.
Wow. So, Mike, here locally, we're in the midst of a conversation about the latest in the Bears stadium project. And last Friday, Naperville Mayor Scott Worley met with Bears President Kevin Warren. And Arlington Heights no longer is the Bears' singular purpose. They're going to explore other avenues. It feels like it's a huge leverage play. How do you view it from the outside?
Well, my reaction to it was, and I've been meaning to write about this, I've been trying to process, I poked around a little bit, because how do you purchase this property at Arlington Heights without some idea that there's the possibility that someone's going to put their thumb on the tax scale at some point? And did they not have any idea? Were they naive? Were they oblivious? Or was there something nefarious going on here? Is there some political force that I'm not aware of that is going to seal off any avenue for the Bears? You go to Arlington Heights, sorry, property taxes just went up. You go look at somewhere else, sorry, something else just happened, Indian burial ground or something. I mean, there's going to be something everywhere they look other than Soldier Field. It's just weird to me. This is the first time that I can think of that we've had a complication like this where a team is considering an alternate site and everything looked good until it didn't. It's either neglect or lack of proper care and foresight by the team, or somebody's messing with them to keep them from going there. It's one or the other. This just doesn't happen out of the blue that all of a sudden the property taxes become so untenable that you're just not going to go there, unless they knew and this is their way to try to squeeze it down. Now that this process is moving along, we knew the property taxes were going to be an issue, but we can squeeze somebody to drop that amount by flirting with Naperville instead. So, this is high stakes, big money, big business. There's always a story behind the story. I feel like there's a story percolating somewhere beneath this one of either negligence or some sort of foul play.
That is a very good take on it, I think, because we've had a bunch of people calling in, and there is this feeling among the Bears that they had things set up, and unfortunately they now have had the kind of ground move a little bit, and so they're trying to readjust. They're also going to be meeting with the city of Chicago, with the mayor, Brandon Johnson, the newly elected mayor, and it will be interesting to see if they're, supposedly they have no interest in staying at Soldier Field. So if they were to meet with the mayor, they'd want to know where else would in the city of Chicago would we be going, because they don't see that as an alternative, trying to take the building they're currently in and redoing it. And obviously they want to own their own building, and that's one of the reasons they plopped down the $197 million to get Arlington Heights racetrack.
Hey, and more owners should want to own their own building. They should. You get to keep all the revenue. You've got no boards or councils that can micromanage your use of it. Look at the dysfunction between Santa Clara and the 49ers that has existed basically since the day they cut the ribbon on Levi's Stadium. You run the show. You decide who's going to be there, what concerts you're going to have. Maybe you can lure another team to Chicago. Look, there's going to be expansion at some point in the NFL, and I've said for years, Chicago would make sense. It's a big enough market, and if you have a venue there that can support two teams like they have in LA, like they have in New York, why not make that a consideration? So there's a lot of reasons to do it and to be the landlord for whatever it is that goes on. But, you know, you got to find a place where the money makes sense. And just it's just weird to me that as the Bears are building real momentum toward an Arlington Heights solution, all of a sudden this rogue wind blows through in the form of property taxes. It's just weird. There's something about it that seems off. And my experience is when something seems off, there's usually a reason for it. And once you start digging, you find what it is.
Quickly, Mike, unrelated to the Bears, I think. But what city is next in line if expansion happens or relocation?
Not St. Louis. Not after the $800 million that the NFL had to pay for lying to the people of St. Louis. How dare they sue when we lied to them through our teeth for all those years about the Rams wanting to stay in St. Louis? But, you know, one reality is this. There's a new universe of cities that will open up because owners are recognizing that that upper deck isn't really worth it. The extra profit you get when you look at the revenue versus the expenses of having an upper deck on a stadium. Let's just have a 40,000 seat stadium. We'll design it in a way that makes it look exciting with only 40,000 people. And as long as it's full, it feels exciting. That brings Columbus, Oklahoma City, that brings smaller markets that wouldn't be NFL markets into the mix for an NFL team. And I do think it's just a matter of time before 32 becomes 34, maybe 36, 38, with 40 being the maximum, because they want more inventory. There's only so many games you can play per team. At some point, you got to have more teams.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks
Mike.
That is Mike Florio.
Fascinating concept, and here's why.
Yeah.
And he's suggesting, you know, smaller stadiums, more teams. Feasible and not, and I think conceptually at least, because what is the NFL becoming every Sunday, every game of the 17 that the Bears play? A TV show.
Oh, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
It's already a TV show.
And it's already.
You don't really need people.
More geared toward, tailored around the idea that 3 hours and 15 minutes, here's your TV show. Going to the game isn't always the best vantage point to watch a game.
I don't argue that, but people who have gone and will continue to go.
There are
tickets that have been in families for years, tailgating. I mean, it's just something you'd hate to lose.
I don't disagree with that, but we are seeing this trend, and what he's referencing is that taking more seats away, for what? Why would you do that? Well, increase the demand, certainly, but it's also because it reflects the growing trend toward everything is about the television product.
Well, I mean, that's where the money is, right? That's where the NFL makes their money. Just check out how many nights a week they want to play, how many different places they want to go to. I mean, it's fascinating as an idea. I think there are some old owners that would have a hard time losing the gate.
I don't disagree necessarily, but I think that I'm just.
But you're right. It's not. It's more about television now than ever.
We're not that far away from the game on Amazon because the stream is broken. That the game is stopped until the stream is repaired, so people don't miss a play on television.
All right, you want to go back to Joe Madden?
Let's do
talk
that.
Whatever people want. Let's have a little Stroh show of a conversation. 312-644-6767. Are you surprised that Joe is the no fun guy? And is that a simplification of what he was saying? Is it more about respect? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. Suck it to you a second. Mully and Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.